I'm going to be reading a very familiar setting of Scripture here tonight. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. Amen. The Bible says, be sober. Praise the Lord. Now, that's something that I have to work on. You know what that sober means? It means serious-mindedness. Sober-minded. Be sober. Amen. Be vigilant. How many knows what vigilant is? Amen. Praise the Lord. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Aren't you thankful tonight for that eternal glory that we have through Christ Jesus? Amen. After that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Praise the Lord. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Isn't the word of the Lord powerful?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't it an awesome thing to have the word of God in our life today? Praise the Lord. Why don't you lift your hands right now, set your Bibles aside, and let's thank him for his word. And let's ask him to anoint us tonight in Jesus' name. Your word is already anointed. I pray, God, that you would anoint the messenger again with your presence and your anointing. Rest upon us, O God. Let anointing and glory fill this tabernacle tonight. We honor you, Jesus. We glorify you. We worship you. You are wonderful. You are wonderful. You are wonderful. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You can be seated. I'm going to be going here real quickly, Brother Timothy Bass, to Judges, the 14th chapter, and then to 1 Samuel, chapter 17. I was in my office, and I was, as a lot of things, as preachers, messages are birthed in their hearts a lot of times by things they're fighting, battles they're going through, different situations that they're dealing with. I am one of those that when I began to deal with issues in our church or battles that were just everyday life dealing with, helping people try to live for God, I try to go back to the Word of the Lord and find things there that would somehow strengthen me or to where I can strengthen somebody else. I can't find that strength with just in my own ability and my own talent. And I believe that we are vulnerable and we are weak within our own flesh.
Oh, yeah. All right.
And we need God.
Oh, yeah.
When we begin to rest upon our own abilities and our own flesh, I'm telling you, we're in trouble.
Yes.
It's just a matter of time. All of us are vulnerable to this adversary. Amen. None of us are exempt from the powers of hell that work against the church. Amen. We have an adversary. The Bible says every single one of us. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary. The Apostle Peter made this a very personal statement to all of us. He didn't leave out the ministry. And he didn't leave out the choir director. And he didn't leave out the Sunday school superintendent. And he didn't leave out the Sunday school teachers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He didn't leave out the ones that are on prayer service every Saturday night or Monday night or whenever prayer service is. He said, every single one of us are fighting the same devil.
Yeah.
Amen. And you know, the devil, he's a mastermind. He knows what he's doing. Amen. He's had a long time. I don't know how old any of you are here, but I doubt there's anybody here over 100 years old. Getting close. Well, most of us are not near 100 years old. Although a few of us are looking like it. Amen. Praise a few of us. Praise the Lord. And we have, we're all fighting a devil that's been at this over 2,000 years. He knows what he's doing. And the Bible says that he is wise and he's subtle. He's deceiving. And he uses that spirit of deception. I have never in my life walked up to anybody or been introduced to anybody or met anybody, and after a few moments talking to them, they tell me, yeah, I'm dealing with the spirit of deception. I'm deceived. It don't work that way, boy, if it would. If you could convince people that easily that they are being deceived by hell. But I'm telling you, he makes it so real in your life. You know it to be an absolute. And all the times there's this mastermind behind the scenes working deception in your life. Amen. I'm telling you, the spirit that deception is the greatest tool the adversary has. We preach against, and we know that all the different addictions, and I could go through all the addictions and name them. And now I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to act like I'm at New Life. New Life. Where do we pastor? My father-in-law started talking about me being the son-in-law of his wife, and I have a lot of titles. And I get messed up a lot. I'm the husband of the pastor of New Life Tabernacle. That's right. My wife often tells me if it wasn't for her, we wouldn't have a church to pastor. So if you don't like this message tonight, she printed it up for me before service and handed it to me. It's her fault. Praise the Lord. Amen. We fight the same devil in New Life Tabernacle as you fight here at Life Tabernacle.
Yeah. All right. Right.
And I find people all the time walking in our churches with the spirits of this world attached to their life, dealing with addictions, drugs. I just hear just a few nights ago, had a young man, hair down to his waist. I'm long tail, ponytail, hippie looking guy, had tattoos all over him. His life was messed up, drugs and alcohol, you name it, he's been in it and a part of it, and his life is tore up. He walked down to the altar just a few nights ago, bawling and sobbing and crying, praying, asking God to touch his life and forgive him of his sins. He grabbed a hold of my hand, he said, "Preacher, I need help, would you help me?" I said, "I absolutely do everything within my power to see God touch your life, and God can and God will deliver you." Amen. And just a few nights later, had him in my home in a home Bible study. Amen. And the hunger that's in his heart for God and the desire. I'm telling you, God can touch those, and God can deliver a lot of people that have all kinds. There's no addiction that you have tonight that God's not powerful enough to deliver you from. Praise the Lord. If it's drugs, if it's alcohol, if it's pornography, if it's any, I don't care what the addiction may be, God is able. But I'm going to tell you, the hardest thing to get somebody delivered from is the spirit of deception. Amen. The devil deceiving us. Praise the Lord. You say, me? Not me. Every one of us are going to be dealing with this spirit of deception. Amen. Amen. And you know, the devil, some of us hadn't prayed in days. And we still feel like we're all right.
Well,
that's that spirit of deception working. It's alarm. That's that spirit of deception that's working in our life. Now, I didn't come to preach just about the spirit of deception. I come to preach tonight to talk to us or do this little Bible study that I have on the lion that we're dealing with. I looked at this scripture just a few days ago, and I was sitting at in my office, so I just reached over to my little laptop and punched in lions. And I, when I was reading this, I started doing some cross-reference. I said, you know what, I'm just going to find all the places in the scripture that talks about a lion and read these scriptures, and started doing some cross-referencing and read about some of those that I'm going to read to us here in just a few moments. And I punched in lions, and there's several different things popped up and on dealing with lions, and I punched on one of those, and the caption of one of those was, the wording said, living with wildlife in lion country. Well. Living with wildlife in lion country. And I looked at that, and it got it reached out and grabbed a hold of me. And I said, you know what? We're living. Our problem today is a lot of us don't realize we're living in lion country. We're living our life every day, and we're walking through this life, and we're just going through the affairs of life, and we don't realize that we're living in lion country. David, or Judges chapter 14, I'm getting ahead of myself. Judges chapter 14 and verse 5 says, then went Samson down and his father and mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Now there are a lot of men in the Bible, and I'm not going to take the time tonight to go through all of these, because there's several things that I as I got into this that really, really grabbed a hold of my heart. And that's what I want to share with us tonight. But I want to just take a few minutes here to tell us that all through the Word of God, there are men that fought against lions. Now, these lions are not, given the geographical location of most of these gentlemen in the Word of God, they're probably not those big, furry-looking African lions that we kind of think of every time we see or think of lions. These were actually probably more like a jaguar. They're a mountain lion, which are very large cats. And I'm not going to give us a lesson on lions and all the things about them, although it's very interesting to see and know what these things can do. A male lion can get anywhere from 120 to 140 pounds, about 3 foot tall. And they can take down a beast that's several times their weight, a 500-600-pound elk, with no problem. And you're thinking, sometimes we think some of these things are small and insignificant in our life, and I'm telling you, it doesn't take a big, big thing to take us down. You say, well, this is just, Pastor, this ain't no big deal. This is just small. I'm telling you, you start messing around with some things, it ain't taking long before the devil will get a hold of you. And that very little thing that you thought was insignificant and didn't really mean much, it's been the very thing that unawares to you, the devil crept in unaware and it got a hold of your life. Amen. And he worked through that thing to destroy your walk with God and your relationship with God. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, he's wise and he knows what he's doing. Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible talks about a young prophet that went down. Well, David in 1 Samuel was on the battle, getting ready to go on the battlefield with Goliath and fight against Goliath. And as he's standing in the tent of Saul, supposed to be under the spiritual leader of Israel. Amen. And this man, Saul, stood head and shoulders above all. Most of you here are very familiar with the Word of God. Amen. So I'm going to move very quickly through some of these stories. But the Bible says that David stood there before Saul, and Saul said, what makes you think you can go out there and fight against this skilled man of war? And David said, well, you don't understand, Saul. I'm not doing this in me. I'm doing this through him and for him. Just as Pastor Bass said earlier, this ain't about me. This ain't about my battle. This is about God, and this is about his church, and this is about his people. Amen. So David stood there and he said, let me give you a little bit of a story here. I don't have a whole lot of time to describe a whole lot of things to you. There's a devil out there that needs whooped. Amen. So he said, I was tending my father's sheep, and a lion came out and grabbed a hold of one of the lambs, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. And I went and I got a hold of the lamb, and I took the lamb out of the lion's mouth. And this happened also with the bear. But when the lion rose up against me, I took him and I rent him in twain and I slew that beast. Yeah. All through the Word of God, we find mighty men of God. Mighty men that God moved upon, and they would slay the lion. Yeah. The Bible says that there was a mighty man of David. In fact, it said that this man slew two lion-like men. Yeah. Now, when I was younger and I'd read that scripture, hear somebody else read it, I thought, my Lord, this guy was had a man's body and a lion's head. I'm not sure what he had. A lion. They were talking about the courage, the ability to fight. These men were a cut above the rest. There was no fear or turn back or retreat in them. And these men were mighty men of war. And this mighty man of David went out and slew two lion-like men. And the Bible says, even as he was out on a snowy day, there was a lion that was in a pit. There was a lion in the pit on a snowy day. And this guy, this mighty man said, hang on a minute, I've got to take care of business. And he set everything aside and he got down in the pit.
Right.
Where the lion was, and he slew the lion. You say, well, Pastor, I just leave well enough alone. It can't get to us. It's pinned up in a pit. It can't. But this young man was wise enough to know that it was a snowy day. And the more it snows, the higher the snow gets. And it's just a matter of time to where that young lion is going to be out of a pit. It's going to be out of the place in which we think we got it corralled in. He said, and I can't. As soon as I walk away from this, there's going to be a day when my back's going to be turned. There's going to come a weak time in my life when I'm vulnerable. And I can't allow a spirit of hell to be alive when I've got an opportunity to slay it.
Go ahead.
Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There are things that we look at and we think, Pastor, why is it so important? I'm telling you the reason why it's so important is because we're living in lion country. And we can't afford to play games, and we can't afford to be casual, and we can't afford to be complacent, and we can't afford to let the spirit of lethargy, amen, get a hold of our hearts and our spirits. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I do believe the Holy Ghost has put something in my heart, and I hope somebody here tonight to help me preach a little while. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I printed out, in fact, the particular page that I was looking at and that began to spark this interest in my heart. And it had a list of things that began to tell people what to do if they lived in lion country. It said, you know, in the past we really didn't have to deal with this much because everybody lived in the cities. You know, but now the world is becoming so populated, and people are moving out from the cities and up into the mountains. They want to seek that place where they don't have all them neighbors so close. And so they're moving out, and now we're having to deal with a lot of people having dealings with mountain lions. And it was one right after another stories that you could go and read of people that had dealings with mountain lions. And they said the reason why is because now people, they used to have their own terrain. They used to have their own place to kind of hide out. Nobody ever saw them. But now people have moved into mountain lion country. Amen. I don't know if you're aware of this, but we're in the day when mountain lions are around. We're in lion country today. Amen. I'm going to tell you, you can be deceived if you want to, but Paul tells Timothy, he said, in the last days, peerless times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves more than lovers of God. Amen. We're dealing in a day when men, they're seeking their lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. We're living in last days. We're living in lion country.
Yeah. All right.
Praise the Lord. Now, I'm gonna go through these real quickly, and then I'm going to come back, and I'm going to visit each one of those on a little slower pace. So if any of you have to leave early, I don't want you to miss any of these. So, number one, it says, when you're in lion country. Now, this is off the article. I printed it out, and I was amazed how spiritually the applications applied so well. It says, if you live in lion country, number one, don't ever be alone. It says, when you walk in lion country, don't go alone. Always go in groups, whether it's just a couple of you, if there's just two or three, or if there's 15, do it with a number of people and don't do it by yourself.
All right.
And I began to look at this and I said, how fitting this is for us in the house of God. I've seen too many people in just 2.5, 3 years of pastoring. Seen too many people that thought they could do it by themselves. And they pulled away from the church. And they pulled away from the reach of a pastor, a loving pastor that wasn't trying to be hard or abrasive or rude or crude, but was trying to be, amen, deal with the spirit of deception that had got into their life. Amen. Trying to be a man that would tell the truth and the whole truth without fear or favor. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to stop here just long enough to say, I'm going to tell you the greatest friend you'll ever have is this man of God right here. Praise the Lord. The greatest friend you'll ever have in this entire world. You ought to get as close as you can to this preacher and say, whatever I need, God, I want to be saved. You preach the word. Preach the truth. Tell me what I've got to do to be saved. I don't want to be lost. Praise the Lord. Now, it says, Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20 says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Hebrews chapter 10 and 24 says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Amen. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I want to admonish somebody here tonight. One more time, I want you to hear my voice. Amen. And I know your pastors preach this, and evangelists have preached this, and other pastors have preached this, and you're going to hear it again and again. You cannot do it by yourself. You need your brothers and sisters. You need the strength of the church. Oh, hallelujah. The day you think you can do it on your own and you begin to pull back, I'm telling you, you're making yourself vulnerable. And there's going to be a day when you're walking down that old trail that you're going to forget you're living in lion country. And the devil's going to take your life. He's going to take your spirit. And you're going to die lost without God. Oh, we can't do it without our brothers and our sisters. I'm going to tell you, you need the strength of your brothers and sisters. Amen. We cannot forsake the assembling of ourselves. Even as we see the day approaching, we need each other. There's going to be times in my life when I'm weak. I need a strong brother to stand by my side. I need somebody to help me to fight the battle, to fight the good fight of faith. Oh, yeah. Amen. You know how much strength, it amazes me how some people can not come to church for weeks and weeks on end. And then I see him in the office, or I talk to him in the vestibule. I talk to him up here at the altar by myself, and just me and them. And the pastor, I'm just having a hard time. I'm struggling living for God. Well, I can imagine. It's been 3 weeks since you've been to church. I can imagine you're struggling. You're having a hard time doing what you know is right. Because you don't understand the strength that you get when you are gathered together with men and women of like precious faith, magnifying and worshiping the Lord. Praise the Lord. We draw strength from one another. Where there are two or three gathered together in my name, he said, I'm going to be in the midst of them. Praise the Lord. Number two, it says, now this is exactly what it says. I didn't add to it. You can read it for yourself. Amen. Living with wildlife in lion country, the Colorado Division of Wildlife. That's what it is. That's what I printed off. It's in number two. It says, always have a sturdy weapon in your hand to defend yourself. Yeah. Always have a sturdy weapon in your hand to defend yourself. Amen. Psalms 149 and 6 says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. I'm going to tell you the greatest weapon you'll ever have in your life is this book. Praise the Lord. You may have talents and you may have abilities. You may be able to sing the house down. You may be able to get up here and exhort like Brother Craig Bass and Brother John Kastner did tonight, and they did an awesome job. Amen. But you may be able to get it up here and out of your ability and talent, get people on their feet and clapping their hands, but that's not the sword that we need. We need the Word of God in our life.
Yes, we do. I said we've got to have the Word of God. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 4 and 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, we're living in lion country. And there's too many of us on a day-to-day basis that go to our jobs, that go to our schools, that hang out with our family members, that hang out with our friends, and we never think about the sword in our hand. We never think about the weapon that we need when we're living in lion country.
All right.
The devil's here tonight. The devil's real. The lions are prevalent in our world today, and I'm talking about spirits today.
Yeah.
And we live our life as if there is no spirits of hell to fight. Number three, it says, don't run away from a lion. For this reason, it stimulates the instinct to chase and attack if you run. It says, face the lion and stand upright. Well, I got to thinking about what the Word of God says. In Ephesians chapter 6 and 13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. I don't know about all of you here today, but I believe I'm preaching to some people here tonight that you're interested in making it all the way.
Right.
You're interested in not just surviving, but you're interested in having revival and seeing a move of God and seeing your husband and your wife and your children and your mother and your father filled with the Holy Ghost, because that's the will of God. It's the will of God that your family be saved. But I'm going to tell you something, Saul or David, whoever you may fall in the category of tonight, Goliath's not going to fall by himself. There's got to be somebody that'll stand up and say, I realize the time in which I'm living in, and I'm going to challenge that spirit. I'm going to challenge that adversary, and we will prevail, and we will have revival. Oh, when you've done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was thinking of the scripture earlier as the Bible says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works, to Lord, the children of men. Amen. Psalms 107 says this, I think, three or four different times. It repeats him. He repeats himself. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness. Amen. One of the things, the very next thing that it says about, if you're living in lion country and you happen to be walking down the trail and there's a lion there, Brother Craig, it says the very best thing that you can do when you come upon a lion and the lion seems as though he's unafraid and he wants to attack, don't run, don't turn your back on him, but take your hands and raise them up as high as you can raise them. That's what it said. I didn't put this in there. That's what it said. It said, raise your hands as high as. Why? It says, because it illuminates and it makes you look larger than what you really are. I'm telling you, the best weapon you have when you're fighting problems and when you're dealing with situations is to lift up your voice and to lift up your hands. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. First Timothy 2 and 8 said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Psalms 22 and 3 says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. I'm going to tell you, your help's going to come when you lift your hands as high as you can lift them. The devil don't like it when you begin to lift up your hands. You need to understand, you're living in lion country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
the greatest defense that we have, the greatest defense that we have in Lion Country is our worship and our praise.
All right.
Come on, saints of God.
Yeah.
Amen. He said, God said, I inhabit the praises of Israel. Amen. In fact, he said, he talks about Israel in the book, and he talks about, then he makes reference to Judah. And most of the time when you're talking about, when he begins to make reference to Israel in the book in the Old Testament, he always makes the distinction between Israel and Judah. They're never one of the other 11. It's always Israel and then Judah. In fact, he talked about how he would have his dominion in Israel. But he said, in Zion is my sanctuary. That's going to be my sanctuary in Zion. I'll have dominion and power. My dominion, you'll see my dominion and my power. Amen. In Israel. But over there in Judah. Over there in Judah, that's where my sanctuary is going to be. I'm going to tell you, I want the power of God. I want the anointing, but I don't want it always to be God having to demonstrate his power in my life for me to serve him. I want to erect a Judah over here to where God said it doesn't just necessarily have to be the power of God. But I'm just going to dwell. I'm going to make my sanctuary right there. There's something about you. Somebody that just lifts up their hands in the midst of the darkest trial, in the midst of the darkest time. Those that will lift up their hands and say, you know what? I don't know what else to do. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, I'm going to stand here and see the Lord lift up a standard against him. In Judah, there will be my sanctuary. I'm telling you, when you find a worshiping church and a praising church, you're going to find a revival church. You'll find a church that it don't take the masterpiece behind the pulpit to get them to stand up and lift their hands and thank God for who they are and what they are and who he is. I'm telling you, you're going to find a church where there's fire on the altars, where there's Holy Ghost in the house. Hallelujah. We're fighting devils today. Praise the Lord. I've never in my life seen an attack on the apostolic ministry as I'm seeing it in this hour, in this time. Praise the Lord. And the apostolic churches. I'm talking about young people and young ladies and young men and moms and dads and older people that have lived for God for years, that are fighting battles they've never had to fight. Oh yeah. Amen. We're living in Lion Country. Amen. I stood in the office just here a few months ago. Actually, I'm sorry, just a couple weeks ago. Not even a month ago. And a man in my church. This man is in his 60s. Amen. I would never even dream that he'd be dealing with the problems and fighting the battles that he's fighting. He called me sobbing on the phone. Pastor, I got to talk to you. I've got to bare my heart to you. And I met him in my office. And he told me, he said, I don't know how I did it. I don't know how it all happened, but I've gotten messed up on the internet with some woman somewhere. I'm telling you, there's a devil out there that's trying to destroy your soul. When you come in this house, you can't afford to sit back with your hands crossed, with your arms on the back of the seat, with an attitude of complacency. You better get your hands up. I said, you better get your arms in the air, and you better make that devil realize, I may have failed, but rejoice not against me, oh mine enemy. For when I arise, I'm telling you, God is going to be the help that I need in my life. Oh, hallelujah. We're dealing with spirits today.
Thank you,
God. We're dealing with attitudes and spirits that I don't know if I've ever seen a person in my life. I mean, it's just probably because I'm on a different end of the battlefield. It's probably been happening for years. Elder Brother Bass has been fighting these spirits for years. Now 30, almost 40 something years probably. How long you been preaching, Dad? 38 years. Probably been dealing with it, but I'm a young man. And I step in, I know it doesn't look like it. Looks are deceiving. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Had a guy tell me it looked like my face doesn't wear out two bodies. Or actually, he said that head. Wasn't just a face, it was like a hair too. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Man, I don't know if I've ever seen the time when we're dealing with the attitudes and the spirits of hell that we're dealing with today. Church, we got to get serious about this. This is not a game. We're not here playing God games. We're not here playing church. We're here to see souls set. There's people in this house right now that don't even realize how close they're living in lion country. How close the lion is in their life. Amen. How close they are to losing out with God. They don't even realize how important it is. Do all you can to appear larger. Raise your arms. Raise your hands. Get them as high as you can. The devil hates praise when it's to God. He loves praise. He seeks it in many different forms. Oh yeah, he does. Through our entertainments. Through sports. Oh yeah. That's nothing else. That's not doing anything. Anything that we lift our hands over, scream, holler, and give and scream about, and yeah, and we're doing that to anything other than God. We're giving praise to something else other than God. And if you look far enough, you're going to find the lion creeping around somewhere, devising a plan to steal. You know what his whole plan is? To rob God of the praise that he deserves. Oh yeah, that he done. That was one of the very things in the very beginning. He said, "If you'll fall down and worship me, you see all of that. I'll give you." He, at that time, he was trying to pervert the worship.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. I don't know, Pastor Bass probably don't deal with this like I deal with it at home. But I've got young men that love to play ball, and they want to know, Pastor Bass, what in the world's wrong with going to the ball games? I'm going to tell you, it's not going to happen that we give our praise to anybody else other than God. You can call it what you want to, but I'm going to tell you, when people go and they lose their voice because they scream and holler and jump and they fling their clothes in the air and they do everything they can to express their desire for their team, it's nothing but worship and praise that the devil is taking our attention and is diverting it from God to the beggarly elements of this world. I'm telling you, there's nothing out there that's worthy of the praise. It's all the glory and all the honor goes unto the Lord. That's enough for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Another one it says, this is number 5. For you that are watching the clock, all I have is 6. Number 5, it says, closely supervise the children. It says in the article, it says lions seem to be attracted to small things. It says closely guard and closely supervise the children. I'm going to tell you, sir, mom, ma'am, dad, you may be doing all right. But I'm going to tell you, the devil's doing everything he can to make sure those children don't grow up loving the same doctrine you love. This adversary, this lion is going to do everything he can. When these young men grow up to be 18 and 19 years old, that there's a spirit of rebellion in their heart, and there's a spirit of this. Come on, we've seen it time and we've seen it time and time again. I've watched it in our local assembly where generation after generation of young people that were raised on an apostolic pew, when they got to the age of accountability, when they had to make decisions and choices of their own, mom and daddy along the line, they kept living the right way. They kept dressing right. They kept paying their tithes. But they didn't watch the children closely. And somewhere along the line, the lion crept in and he began to breathe some spirits into their heart and began to put some things into their spirit. And now, mom and daddy's coming to church, but the brothers and the sisters and the babies are strung out on drugs. They're out there in the world living a life of perversion and I'm telling you, messed up by the things of this world. Somewhere,
Somewhere in the events of the day, we become so busy, we forgot to watch the children closely. I'm telling you, sir, you may make hundreds of thousands of dollars in your life, and that's no success when you stand before God and your children are lost. You hear me today? I feel this in my heart. I feel a burden in my spirit. Amen. I'd like to have preached something that had us walk on the back of these pews tonight. But I've got to do what I feel in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I feel like God sent me here to tell somebody one more time. You don't understand. You're living in lion country. The devil's after your children. The devil's going to do everything he can. If he can't get you, sir. If he can't get you, mama, he'll get those babies. He'll do everything he can. You want to know why? Because it's the plan of God. It's the plan of God, Brother Dennis, that we, in this 18-year, 20-year discipleship program that God has given these children to us, that we raise up unto him godly seed that will step out from underneath the canopy of a mom and daddy's life and walk with God. And they have the same hunger, and they have the same passion, and they have the same desire for the things of God. And then they raise unto him, unto God. They, these children that we raise. Come on now. We're living, a lot of us here old enough to know and understand what 5-10 years can do. We've done seen some of these snotty-nosed little brats running around here grow up and have children of their own. Some of those that couldn't hardly stand that little 10-year-old smart mouth in Illinois are now sitting underneath him. And he's their pastor. Just what a few short years can bring about in our life. Oh yeah. We don't understand. I'm telling you, saints of God, we don't understand how close this adversary works in our life. It said, whatever you do, make sure you supervise and you watch the children closely. You say, well, I don't want to be too hard. I don't want to be too overbearing. I'm telling you, you can't be too careful. You're dealing with their soul. You're dealing with their soul. You're dealing with their eternity. Destiny's at stake for their life. Their children. So many good apostolic families. The moms and dads have been faithful to church. But somehow along the line, Brother Bass, the children got overlooked. Come on, I'm going to be honest with you tonight. I'm going to be transparent. You're looking at a preacher that has too often forgot about the babies that I'm raising. And I've had my eyes on people in the church and trying to help this one and that one. And look at this one over here. And every once in a while the Lord smites my heart and he says, you remember you got two you're raising. And if you save those and you lose your own, what has it profited you? And I've looked at that, and I'm telling you, I've wept some tears in the last few weeks and months, and I've said, God, please, if I don't save anybody else, help me save my wife and my babies. Help me save my daughter. Help me save my children. I want to see them all saved. I can't watch too closely. I'm telling you, Brother Tyndale, we're living in lion country. We don't have time to turn ahead. We don't have time to get caught up in our businesses to where we can't work with our children. We don't have time to get caught up in our whatever it is that we're caught up in today. Our entertainments, our hobbies. And we lose focus on where our children are. If we do, I'm telling you, you give the devil just a few short days with your babies and they're going to hell. You hear me today? One day, I had a family here recently, had their babies, three little beautiful baby little girls. Brother Craig, beautiful little girls. Amen. Just up and shipped them off to their sisters for over a week. Sisters didn't go to church. They backslid her. While they were there, she was doing everything you can imagine, letting those little girls do that. And just a few days after all of this had transpired, another person in the church come and said, hey, you need to check out this. And something else is happening over here. And I began to look, and I went to him, I said, his daughters, I just make it plain, his daughters' pictures in bathing suits, I'm talking about 11 and 10 and 9, 8 years old, their pictures in bathing suits were passing across the internet, but on his sister's page. I said, you know how many sick individuals are out there today that are driven by passions and lust from hell? I said, first of all, I'm going to tell you your first mistake. You never consulted your pastor about sending your kids anywhere. That's your first mistake. Secondly, you put too much confidence in somebody that don't go to church and they don't have a desire to live the same way you live. You don't think the devil's looking for an opportunity. I'm telling you, 1 week, and I told him this, and I'm going to tell somebody here this. Amen. And a Pastor Bass can correct all of this if he wants to when he gets in the pulpit. But 1 week in that hellhole, it'll take you years to get it out of them. You can't afford to throw your babies to hell that way. Somebody has got to watch the children. Come on, let's lift our hands right now. Come on, I feel a burden in my heart right now. Come on, I'm not preaching for your response. I'm preaching what I feel in the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. You give him just a few days. You give him just a few short hours. And he'll put more into them babies. It'll take you a lifetime. It'll take you a lifetime. So some of you know what I'm telling you is the truth. You've made this mistake. You're sitting here tonight wondering, God, oh, that I would have listened when Pastor Bass was preaching some of this 10 years ago. I'm not too far removed that I don't remember and I don't see some of the mistakes that, and I'm not trying to beat anybody over the head. Please don't misunderstand what this message is tonight. I'm trying to tell those that are here, and you ought to be right with this preacher saying, you better listen to him. You better hear what this preacher's saying. Come on, saints of God. We don't want to lose any more to the world than what we've already lost. We've got to learn. We've got to understand. If it can't get you, he's going to do everything within his power to get those babies. Because when he gets, and the reason, there's a method to his madness. His intention and his plan is to stop and to destroy this godly seed. That's his plan. And if he don't get you, he's going to do everything he can to get those babies. What do you think there's so many third and fourth generation Pentecosts that are throwing away their holiness, throwing away their doctrine of separation, throwing away the essentiality of one God and baptism in Jesus' name? It's nothing more than the adversary. He couldn't get them with drugs. He couldn't get them with alcohol. He couldn't get them with immorality. So he just deceived them into believing it didn't take what it's the same. It's the same devil. You hear me? It's the same devil. He's after our children. He's after to stop. He's intending to destroy this godly seed that's being raised up unto the Lord. Somebody's got to learn. We got to watch the children. We got to watch the children. Can I see a hands of those that have children under the age of 15 years old? There's a lot of people in here tonight that have children under the age of 15. I'm going to tell you, you have an awesome responsibility. Every decision you make doesn't just affect you. I know this is simple, but this is what I feel. Every single decision you make, it doesn't just affect mom and daddy. But it affects those babies. And we've got to learn, we've got to understand that if we're going to make decisions that are going to long-term enable us to know that our babies are going to be right with God, we're going to have to be able to look beyond just the present. I'm going to tell you a good way to do that. Every time you think you need to make a change in your life, you ought to go to your man of God and say, Pastor, what do you think about this? You know why? Because God has equipped him with an ability to look beyond where we can look. Anybody believe that message around here? How many really believes that God's placed this man to be the watchman on the wall? He is in, not because he's just in himself being a greater person, but there's an anointing and a calling upon his life. And God has set him in a higher position to where he can see.
down the road. And things that you may not see any harm in at all, he will say, hang on just a moment. Let me show you. Right now, there's nothing at all. There's no short-term effects of this, but let me show you what a couple years can do to this situation. We better make sure the decisions we make today doesn't destroy our babies in the future. That we're not destroying the church of tomorrow by decisions we do today. Number six. It says, remove all vegetation, all the landscaping around the house. Don't give the lion anything at all to hide behind. Especially, it says this, especially where the children play. I'm going to tell us moms and dads something. You're still authorized to go into their bedroom. You're still paying the rent for that house. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, when they're 14 and 15 years old, well, that's their bedroom, and I don't want to be too overbearing. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of things that if we're not careful, if we don't remove them, that there's a lion lurking behind those things that we're allowing coming into our home. Oh, yes, I don't want to sound too overbearing or too rude, or we talk about the dangers of Hollywood around here. In whatever format they may come in. We teach that Hollywood doesn't need to be the one influencing our life, right? Is that what we teach and preach? Amen. Television and the media and Hollywood, they're not the one trying to manipulate and control the mind of every man, woman, boy, and girl. That's what their attempt is. Amen. But we refuse to be under the control of Hollywood and ultimately that lion that lurks behind the scene. Because we want to not walk after the lusts and desires of the flesh, but we want to walk after the Spirit. Yeah. Is that right? Amen. So we have, a lot of us have made decisions to not have televisions in our home. For the fact that we don't want the influence of Hollywood to be what controls our thoughts. You say, well, Pastor, that sounds awful abrasive and awful tough. And I'm going to tell you, I've had some of them ask me, how in the world do you live without television? And these are Christian people. And I tell them, I ask them the question. I say, how in the world do you live with it? It promotes homosexuality. It promotes adultery. It promotes rebellion. It promotes every immoral act that you can think of. And it force feeds this down your throat. If you don't like it, tough. Get over it. That's what it says. That's what it does. It promotes everything that this book stands against. How in the world are you going to sit there and watch that and let that infiltrate your mind and you shake it off and get up and go do the work of God? It's not going to happen, because whatsoever man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if it's trash in, it's going to be trash out. If it's garbage in, you're not going to reach inside of there and pull out. Blessed is he who walketh out there. Come on now. Amen. You're not going to reach in there and pull out the word of God when there's all the contamination of this world. And you know what? A whole lot of us can get behind the pastor and preach along with him when we're dealing with television and we're dealing with the influence of Hollywood. But I at my church, and this is you just pardon me just a second, I'm going to act like I'm at New Life Tabernacle. I told my church here a few days ago, I said, when I was preaching this message, I said, some of us, we don't have a television in our home, we don't have Hollywood, but our kids have every kind of game you can imagine. And some of our children sit for hours and hours and hours a day, never getting out from behind some game where they're cutting somebody else's head off. Or they're doing this. Or they're throwing. Come on, saints of God.
I'm telling you, you better be careful what you got around the house. You better be careful what's laying around, because unaware to you, that innocent little thing, it's just some landscaping around the house. It's just a pretty little shrub. But there's a lion that's lurking behind. There's some things that are hiding behind. Those innocent things that we don't think there's anything wrong with. Oh, Pastor, give it up. Give us a break. This is 2007. We're crying out loud. I don't care if it's 2007 or if it's 1907. It's still the same devil, and he's out to take your soul to hell. You're living in lion country. You're living in lion country. Be sober. Be vigilant. Somebody help me out here tonight. Somebody, you know what vigilant is? Watchful. Be alert. Keep your eyes open. Don't go to sleep for a moment. If you have to, you take toothpicks and hold them eyes as wide open as you can, because if you give him just an inch, you give him just a few days, and he's going to bring more havoc and more things into your life than what we can control or what we can ever deal with. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, he's on the prowl. He's not just out here taking a stroll tonight. He's looking for every weakness in your life that he can find. He's looking for every weakness in your life that he can find. And if he can find the weakness, I'm telling you, in the fear of God, it's just a matter of days. If you're not vigilant, if you're not sober, it's just a matter of time that he's going to have you in his clutches. And you're going to be laying before an altar somewhere saying, God, please help me. I don't know how I got to this place. I don't know how this happened. I was doing good. I thought everything was all right. But somewhere along the line, my prayer life slipped up. I wasn't as sober-minded as I ought to be. Living for God just become a routine. Come on, saints. I hope you're hearing the heartbeat of this preacher tonight. You've got to understand, you're living in lion country. You're living in lion country. There's a lion that's raging and he's roaring tonight. And if you're not careful, you're going to be the next victim. Here just a few short months ago, actually it's been a little longer now, it's been probably almost a year ago, in the Reader's Digest, there was a story, and the story title was just simply called Stalked. Some of you may have read it. Talked about a 14-year-old boy in Colorado that skipped school one day because he thought it would be cool. No big deal. Skipped school and he was out on his bike riding around. And he would come by the school, and as he would come by the school, he'd lift up his head and peer in the windows and wave at the kids. The teacher never did see him. She was facing the wrong direction. The kids would see him and sneer and snicker and laugh. He was having a grand time. He'd take on out, make his little tour up the side of the mountain, turn around and come back down and work his way back down toward the school. And every time he did that, he'd go a little further. And unbeknownst to him, Elder Bass, there was a mountain lion that he had attracted the attention of. And every time, the last time this young boy came by the school and he went up the hill and up through the mountain and made his little round, he never came back down. Well, it was hours after school that Mom and Daddy began to be wondering what in the world was wrong. What in the world's happening? Johnny should have done been home by now. He should have already been here. What's going on? They sent out their search parties and the kids began to confess. Well, Johnny wasn't at school. He played hooky today. Thought it'd be cool to hang out on his bike, just riding around. Unbeknownst to little Johnny, it was going to be the last day that little Johnny got to skip school.
Because this mountain lion that had been stalking this young boy, the last trip up the side of that mountain, he killed this little boy. And when they found him, they found the carcass, they found the body of this young child and the mountain lion just a few feet away. The habit of mountain lions are is when they kill their prey, they don't go very far. They just hang out where their kill is. And they wait. And that's exactly where they found him. They found the little boy and his bicycle. And this mountain lion just sitting a few yards away. I'm telling somebody here tonight in the fear of God, you don't even realize you're just out on a little stroll. You're having fun. You're just enjoying life. You're out in the breeze riding your little bike. And you don't realize, but you're being stalked by a hungry spirit of hell that's trying its best to get a hold of you and destroy you in your walk with God. As they begin to play something softly right now, I want to ask every single one of us in this house to begin to look at our hearts. You're living in lion country. I don't know what your weakness is right now. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're fighting, what the battles you're facing. But I'm telling you, I have given you tonight in the fear of God, I have given you some things that you can do to ward off. You can survive. You don't have to become another victim. You don't have to be another tragedy. I'm telling you, if you'll do what God's given us and use what God's given us, you can become a victor. For greater is He that is within you than he that is in the world. You have the power within you. Why don't somebody right now say, you know what? I recognize I'm living in lion country. I recognize that devil's after my babies. I recognize those spirits that are trying to lurk behind the landscaping, lurking behind the things in the house, lurking behind every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. I recognize the attempt of the adversary. I'm going to lift up my hands. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to get the sword back in my grip and I'm going to fight. Devil! Let me tell you something, devil. And it said this, and I'm closing. It said, whatever you do, don't turn your back on him. It said, whatever you do, always face him. And if you get knocked down, it said, get up again if you can. You can defeat a mountain lion, but you gotta want to. You can defeat a mountain lion, but you gotta have a fight in you. I'm telling you, there's some spirits that are waging war in your mind. There's some devils that are trying to pull you down. There's some spirits that are trying to deceive you and to tell you you can't do it. You're always going to be a failure. Look at you. You made that mistake again. Look at you. Look at where you're at. I'm telling you, if you'll just make up your mind, I'm not going to lay here. I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to get up. It's a little hard, but I'm going to raise my hands again. We're living in lion country. These altars are open if anybody wants to pray. There's a devil that's after your soul, but I'm telling you, you can survive. You can be an overcomer. You can, by the power of God, you can fight and win this war. If you're doing all right, Mama, if you're okay, Daddy, for no other reason, you ought to be in this altar saying, God, please help me save my babies.